maybe somebody in their face today like to have a copy of God's Word offered to you quite freely. Yours simply and only for the taking, no cost, no obligation to you. It is God's Word, and of course, not like yours or mine, it has the power, you know, to change, to bring about, to bring life from the death and fetch people out of the way of sinners, you know, the way of transgression, to make the simple wise, the wisdom, not the wisdom of this age, of course, that's nonsense, but you already know that. Now the wisdom of God that, you know, that leads to salvation. It's all here in God's Word, His own testimony, His record concerning His own only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, sent, of course, to save, to redeem us, to do that for us that we can't do for ourselves. Not just as I was saying to a young lady from Belgium just a few moments ago, some people, you know, they kind of mix it up, you know, she says you're fed up with religion, and I get that, me too, you know, me too. I fully subscribe to that, like, you know, but like I keep saying to people, and I said to you here before, you know, religion don't put the life of God into you. Don't put the love of God into your heart. You know, don't make you alive. Don't retrieve you from that state of death in which, of course, you were, Bible says you were born, you know. All of us, you know, naturally speaking, is how we come into the world and why we need the one who, you know, calls himself the resurrection and the life. I am. He says the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Jesus, not religion. It's resurrection that you need, regeneration that you need, not religion. Jesus, Son of God, came into the world to save sinners. That's what He's doing and will do and continues to do right to the end. But what about you? What about you, you know? Because, you know, here's the thing, you know. Back in the Old Testament, you know, the Bible's all of a piece. You'll find the old is in the new, contained, and well, the old is by the new explained. But you find, you know, like in the book of Psalms, King David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, you know, he talks about the day coming when the wicked, you know, the ungodly, the unrighteous, those that is, you know, that haven't been made right with God, you know, the end of it, well, he describes it, he says, an horrible tempest. You know, and that's just like, well, what Jesus says in the new. He talks about that day when that storm, that flood, you know, God's judgment's coming. And people are going to be, you know, if they haven't built, you know, their hopes, if they haven't, you know, by faith, that is, trusted in the rock, Christ Jesus, well, they're going to be swept away in that judgment, you know. They're going to be in serious trouble. So it's not just now, you know. Bad enough just now what your sin does to you now. But my friends, the day is coming. You know, when God's going to judge you in righteousness by His Son, Jesus Christ. He's the one appointed to be the judge. You know, the day has been appointed and the judge has been appointed. Only thing we don't know is the actual day, when that day will be. But we know for sure it's coming, and we know who's going to do the judging. And His name is Jesus, the one who today would be your Savior. Should you but trust in Him, then you could face that day, of course, well, without any fear, without any anxiety, without any worry. So don't you know, my friends, you need to be trusting now. You know, now's the time. Now's the time when you need to be trusting, you know, and in Jesus, so that in that day that you'll be saved. But that horrible tempest, you know, that David talks about, you know, he makes a distinction between the wicked, you know, and the righteous. Righteous and the unrighteous. The godly and the ungodly. That's those without God and those with God. And the ungodly, he says, they won't stand in the judgment. He says they'll perish in their ungodly way, their godless way. And of course he goes on to talk about how all the forgetters of God, all the nations, he says, that forget God will be turned into hell. You know, there's something to be saved from. Now, of course, well, and then too, you know, when that day comes. So, you see, my friends, you know, you haven't got to be, you know, absolutely and utter profane. Some of you here in the face, most of you today, you look like what you would call maybe respectable people, and you might ask the question, what's the matter with me? Well, the matter with you is that you're forgetting God. That's all you have to do in order, you know, to be turned into hell. Just simply forget God. And that I dare say is the majority, the masses of humanity. They just simply forget God. You know? But that's because, you see, in answer to the question, well, what's the matter with you? Well, the matter is that you are conceived in sin. That's where King David goes on to say, you're conceived in sin. That's where your sin career began. That's where it started. And then 9 months later, you're born in sin, and you live in sin all your days. But for the grace of God, unless the grace of God breaks in. The sovereign, free, particular grace sent, my friends, through the preaching of the gospel, sent, my friends, to rescue those who are God's, His sheep. My sheep hear my voice. Maybe you can't hear the voice of the Good Shepherd today. Maybe that's because you're not one of His sheep. I don't know. Are you? My sheep hear my voice, says Jesus. And they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. But the ungodly, they'll perish in the way. They'll perish in that day when God judges all men, by His Son Jesus Christ. So how does the person get right? That's what the gospel's about. That's what the Word of God, the Bible's about. How a man or woman can be right with God, get right with God. How does a person be accounted righteous in the eyes of God? Well, not by their doing. You know, not by you being respectable, nice, you know, a seeker or trying to do good deeds, you know. My friends, not by works. God makes it absolutely crystal clear. Couldn't be clearer in the gospel that no flesh shall ever be justified in the sight of God by their own works. Religious or otherwise. Your righteousness, as God says, they're like filthy rags in His sight, untouchable. So how does a person get right? How is a person justified, that is? Well, the Bible says, by faith and faith alone, whosoever believeth shall not perish in their way, but have everlasting life. My friends, it's faith in Jesus Christ that you need. That's what brings the righteousness of God. Another righteousness, a righteousness alien to you. A righteousness not of your own. Because in that day when Jesus Christ judges you, you found trusting in your own righteousness, you're in serious trouble. You need to be found trusting in the righteousness of another. Even God's Son, Jesus Christ, sent into the world for this purpose, to live the life you cannot live, die the death that you ought to die, and bear the wrath that is due to those, that is, who will put their trust and faith in Him, in order that they might be relieved from the judgment, the wrath of God. But we're talking about then, you know, when God judges all men in righteousness by His Son, Jesus Christ. But even now you're in trouble. Even now you're dogged and harassed and pursued with misery because of your sin in this world. Even now the wrath of God, the Bible says, is upon you. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Why? Says God, because they hold down the truth in unrighteousness. And because of that, you see, you repress the truth of God, the truth of God that you have. You know that God is. You know that there is a God. You know you're not right with Him. You know that He's not pleased with you. But that's the reason why you repress the truth. That's why you deny the truth. Like the silly old ostrich, you bury your head in the sand and you say that there is no God. Well, King David goes on to talk about such people. He says, they be fools. They be fools, he says. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And what follows on from that? Corruption of living, evil, wickedness, that wickedness for which God will judge you one day. So my friend, faith that you need, faith that you have in God, and faith that only God can give you, and believe yourself, might as well try and pull yourself up by your bootlaces and try to believe yourself. Might as well try and be good as believe yourself. Now God must give it to you. And God gives it, you see. God gives the gift of faith to men and women, well, through the preaching of the gospel, through what I'm doing here today, telling you about God's salvation, telling you about the reality of yourself, your sin, of God, and of His Son Jesus Christ sent into the world in order that you might be saved through Him. Saved now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation, says God. But my friends, you got the problems now. You got all that your sin brings upon you, worldwide, nationally, you know, and family-wise, you know, and yourself personally. Like I say, the misery that dogs you day after day. Oh, you say, I just want to be happy, and if it makes me happy, does it matter? But you just can't for the life of you be happiness. It's always one glass of beer in front of you. Always one fix of drugs in front of you. Always just one dose of materialism after another in front of you. But you never get to that place where you say, I'm happy, I'm content, you know, things are good and right with me. No, misery, because that's what sin brings. You got that saying, don't you? Don't you say he's as miserable as sin? Don't you say she's as miserable as sin? Because you know, even the blind can see that these things, you know, that God speaks about in His Word, they're being fulfilled amongst you. Even as I speak in your own country here in Scotland today. The misery, some of you broken in mind, some broken in body, and some broken in their souls. I fear maybe perhaps some beyond the pale of redemption. I don't know, but God knows. But you see, my friends, that's now, and now is the time when you need to get right before this horrible tempest that David talks about, before it comes. God judges, the Bible says, the Lord tries the righteous but the wicked, and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Ah, God tries the hearts of the righteous, you know. He afflicts them in this life, but you know, his wrath is removed. His wrath isn't upon them like it is upon the wicked and the ungodly, the profane, the forgetters of God. His wrath is removed from them. How come, you say? Well, because of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Set forth, the Bible says, to be a propitiation, that is to take away the wrath of God from off those who believe. But only believers, my friends, only believers, whosoever believeth in the Son, that is, the Son of God, and God the Son, whosoever believeth shall not perish but have everlasting life. Faith, you see, my friends, faith, you see, in the sacrifice, the blood sacrifice of God's Son, Jesus Christ, that's what takes away the wrath from off the righteous. That's how they get righteous. That's how they get to be declared righteous by God, through faith in His Son, receiving the gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. My Lord, whom I declare to you today, faith in His name, my friend, faith in Jesus Christ, brings the righteousness of God and lifts the wrath of God from off of men and women who trust only believe, says Jesus. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. The one who believes, my friends, is the one who is righteous. And the one who believes, my friends, is the one who has eternal life, everlasting life, and the judgment of God cannot touch them. The righteous I made. So which are you? Which do you, according to David's distinctions, which are you? The righteous or the unrighteous? The godly or the ungodly? Forgetters of God, he says, they'll be turned into hell, and all the nations, all the peoples that forget God. So salvation, you see, when that day comes, when that horrible tempest comes, in that day, my friends, it won't sweep away the righteous. It won't take them away. Salvation, my friends, the salvation of their souls is the end of their faith. That's the end of faith, my friends. But the end of unbelief, the end of rejection of God and of His salvation, and of His Son, Jesus Christ, the end of it is that horrible tempest, the flood of God's judgment. So today, my friends, today is the day when you must come, when you must get right with God before that day comes. Everlasting love is set upon the righteous. The love of God, my friends. And until you know that love, until you have believed on God's Son, Jesus Christ, you may have heard, you know, sincere but rather foolish people have come amongst you telling you that God loves everybody. That's counter to what the Bible says. He hates the wicked, he says. And his soul hates those who love violence. So, you see, my friends, it just isn't true. Nothing to do with the love of God until your sin's been dealt with, until the Lamb of God has taken it away. Jesus, that is. He's called the Lamb of God in the New Testament, which taketh away the sin of the world. The world, that is, of believers, those who believe on His name. Even back in the Old Testament, Moses, the prophet, he said, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. So, no blood sacrifice, no blood of the Lamb applied to your soul, to your heart, to your life. You're still in your sin. You're still in your sin. And Jesus says, if you do not believe that I am He, you'll perish, you'll die in your sin, he says. Just like David says, the ungodly shall perish in the way. The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. They'll be turned into hell along with all the forgetters of God. My friends, God Himself has provided the blood sacrifice. His own Son, the Lamb of God, slain on that Roman cross in order that the believer's sins might be taken away. Washed and made clean, I tell you, whatever you are. And whatever your color, your creed, your background, whatever your thoughts are today, my friends, your one particular need is to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Because if you're not, in that day when that horrible tempest comes, the flood of God's judgment, if your feet are not planted firmly on the rock, Christ Jesus, by faith in His name, your history, man. Your history, you're gone. And for all eternity, out of my sight, I never knew you, God will say. But if you believe, if you put your trust firmly and fully upon Jesus Christ and no other to save you from that horrible tempest, well, I tell you, my friends, you'll hear those wonderful words. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Faithful, full of faith, you see. It's faith that makes the difference. It's faith that makes the distinction. The godly and the ungodly. The sheep and the goats. What makes the distinction? One thing and one thing only. Faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Nothing else, my friends. Nothing else. Faith declares you righteous. Faith brings the righteousness of God to you. Faith lifts the wrath of God from off you. And faith clears you of all the condemnation. For there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Trusting in Christ Jesus, that is. No condemnation. And not when that day of judgment, when that horrible tempest comes. But the wicked, the ungodly, the forgetters of God. King David, I tell you, the sweet psalmist of Israel. God hates such, he says. His anger, his wrath is upon them now. He's against them. Again, the New Testament, you know, the Bible says, if God be for you, who can be against you? Hey friends, it doesn't matter, hey. It doesn't matter if the state's against you. It doesn't matter if the world's against you. It doesn't matter if all hell's against you. If God be for you, you got nothing to worry about. You got nothing to fear. No virus. Nothing, my friends. Nothing to fear if God's for you. But reverse that question. If God's against you, oh boy, you are in serious, serious trouble. And my friends, if by the grace of God, you have not been made right with God. If through faith in the Son of God, my friends, you've not been justified. You've not been cleared in God's court. Well, I tell you, you're in serious bother. You've got an enemy, the worst enemy that any man, woman could possibly have. And especially when it comes to that day when God will judge you in righteousness. When that horrible, horrible tempest, that storm of God's judgment comes. You think the earthquakes are bad? You think the tsunamis are bad? You think the car accidents are bad? You think the COVID-19 is bad? Thousands, my friends, taken out of your world in the last 3 months by a virus. One man said to me, I won't believe in anything I can't see. So I guess he doesn't believe in viruses, eh? You can't see them. But that virus has taken thousands out of your world in the last 3 months. And my friends, it hasn't even troubled you. It hasn't even stirred you to think upon your eternal destiny. Where will you spend eternity? When will the When will the blood wagon, when will the ambulance come for you? When will the undertaker come from you? When will that day come when you put your socks on in the morning, but you won't take them off at night? It'll be the undertaker who does that. Oh no, you won't be expecting it. You'll expect life to go on just as normal. It's appointed unto man once to die, says God. After that comes the judgment. It's inevitable. It's inevitable. It's a divine appointment. You cannot put it off. Postpone it. Cancel it. Divinely appointed. Marked in God's calendar. Appointed unto man once to die. Life's like a vapor. You know, you guys who do the vaping, you make a puff of smoke in front of you. 1 minute it's there and the next is gone completely. That's your life. And you're before the judge. Well, the Bible says the judge is before the door, even now. My friends, soon that door will be open and you'll be ushered into his presence. Too late then. Too late then to believe. Too late then to read the Bible. Too late then to pay heed. Too late then to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now is the time when you must needs seek it. And God, rest assured, my friends, the Bible is replete with it. The Lord Jesus Christ, the lovely Savior, the one who loved sinners and gave himself for them, speaks more and speaks more graphically about that judgment and the consequences of it, the sentence, the eternal damnation. He speaks more and more clearly about it than anybody else in the entirety of the Bible. But it's all over the pages of the Bible. Guess that's why you don't like it. Guess that's why you hate it. Because God's going to judge you one day in righteousness by his Son Jesus Christ. When that horrible tempest will come, that storm that will blow away, I tell you, the masses of humanity. Only the few. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way. Difficult, yes. The more difficult way that leads to eternal life. But popular, oh, very popular, well trodden, the wide gate, and the way that leads to eternal destruction. Which path are you on today? The way of the ungodly shall perish. They shall not stand in the judgment. The forgetters of God will be turned into hell. All the nations that forget God, all the peoples. The end of your unbelief, my friends. The end of faith is the salvation of your soul. The end of your unbelief, my friends, is that judgment. Snared, taken.
Christian rocked my door one day.
What? Sorry?
A Christian rocked my door one day.
Knocked your door?
Knocked my door.
Yeah.
How are you going? Chopper.
Come here a bit closer. I can't hear you. Come a bit closer.
Oh, great. I can hear you.
Well, yeah, of course you can.
I just tell me this.
Sorry.
I says, you see when Hitler's land on his deathbed?
Yeah.
And he asked God for forgiveness.
But he wasn't lying on his deathbed, he topped himself.
I know he topped himself.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah.
What about Stalin?
He was just as wicked. He was just as wicked. He was an evil man.
He's an evil man.
He's an evil man.
But you know, I ain't gonna tell you something.
What's that?
You see, if people are like in heaven, I don't want to be there.
Well, he won't be in heaven, don't worry about that.
Wait. You sure?
Sure.
Even if we ask God for forgiveness?
Sure. Sure.
Deathbed?
Sure. God hates workers.
How do you know that?
Because the Bible says God hates workers of violence.
God is a blessed finger.
Right, Colin, come on, we'll get you in the back of the
Colin, repent and believe the gospel, son.
I believe in the Lord.
Okay.
Lord is here.
Big fella. Girls up and all that. Come on.
Okay. Have a good rest of the day, huh? So like I say, friends, you know, that tempest, you know, Jesus, well, like I say, he, let me give you his words, you know, because his words are more powerful than mine. You can check it out for yourself if you want, Matthew's Gospel, at chapter 7, he says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, that's the gospel, the preaching of the gospel. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, that is, does not believe them, yeah, shall be likened unto a foolish man. It's a foolish man, it's a foolish woman, says Jesus, that doesn't do what Jesus tells them to do, yeah, which built his house upon the sand. Because if you build your house on sand and the storm comes, the horrible tempest, it washes away the sand, and guess what happens to the house? You got it. It falls down flat. Yeah? And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. But my friends, those who heard the words of Jesus, those who put their trust, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. That rock is Christ. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. The immovable rock, Christ Jesus, the same yesterday and today and forever. And you put your trust in him, you shall be safe. You shall be saved. Whosoever, hey there, young man. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation, my friends. Escape the horrible tempest. Instead of being snared by sin, the snare broken. Set free from your slave master. A lot of talk about slavery in these last days. Have you noticed? In the media, the internet. My friends, slavery never came to an end. It still goes on today. Men and women are born into slavery. Conceived in sin, born in sin, live in sin, die in sin. But for the grace of God and faith in Jesus Christ. So you see, my friends, your slave master, you're snared by sin, you know. You're held captive by it. And the more you struggle and fight to get out of it, the tighter the snare becomes and chokes the life out of you. And that's the end of it. It's the end of sin. Its wages is death. It's pointed unto man wants to die. It's God's no to your sin. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. It is appointed unto man once to die. The wages of sin is death. It's the penalty, it's the punishment for unbelief. Forgetters of God. And the tempest is coming. The tempest is coming. A horrible tempest. Snared, my friends. And then to be snared. Dragged into the court by the judge, whose grasp you will not escape. Huh? And all your excuses, you know. It was her. She made me do it. It was him. He made me do it. I didn't really mean to do it. God will show you in that day, yes, you did. That's exactly what you meant to do. And it was you that did it, nobody else. All the blame shifting will go. All the blame shifting will go. So like I say, my friends, you know, a horrible tempest, that's the description he gives us. A horrible tempest. All the images given to us, I tell you. Well, my friends, that's all they are. The reality will be something else. The reality of that judgment. You have judgments come upon you now. You know, a lady from Belgium just a short while ago asked me, she said, where is this coming? Where is God, the coming of the Lord Jesus? Where is it? He's always coming. He's always coming. He comes in the earthquake, the tsunami. He came in the COVID-19. He comes invisibly, but you don't see him because you haven't got eyes to see. You're spiritually blind. He needs to open your eyes first and you'll see him coming. But he comes finally, and he comes visibly. And he comes, the Bible says, with his holy angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon all that know not God and who obey not the gospel. Obedience to the gospel, obedience to the truth, brings you to a knowledge of God and of his Son Jesus Christ. That's eternal life. But your disobedience to the gospel, you're refusing to receive a love of the truth that God has given to you, leaves you given over to strong delusions. To believe the lie instead of the truth. To call that which is good evil and call that which is evil good. That's what you do in your generation, isn't it? Given over to delusions. Given over to a reprobate mind. Because of your rejection, your apostasy, your departure from God. Because your unholy, ungodly opinion is that the knowledge of God is not something worth retaining. And so you're faced with the judgments of God day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. And they'll carry on right to the end till you breathe your last, and then you face the ultimate. You stand before the judge of all the earth, who judges impartially, righteously, in absolute perfect righteousness. So my friend, your end does not need to be that way. There is a Savior. There is a mediator sent, my friends, to mediate between you and the judge, between you and your Maker. He came in love for sinners and he died. He died on that cross in order that you might be, by faith, reconciled to God. He came to make reconciliation. God Himself came. God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. But that reconciliation, that right standing with God, that right status with God, righteous, godly, holy, only comes to those who believe. Only comes to faith. It's only given to faith. It's the gift of God, my friends. It's the gift of God. Sheer, pure, unadulterated gift, my friends. A gift. A gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And I declare to you today, in order that your end might not be like that of the ungodly, who will perish in the way, the forgetters of God who will be turned into hell. The ungodly shall perish in the way, they shall not stand in the judgment, says David. There is a way of escape, there's a way out. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. No other escape route, no other name, none other name under heaven given amongst men, whereby you must be saved. Jesus alone can save you from the present wrath and the wrath to come. That horrible tempest first that Jesus speaks about the mother of all storms, my friends, that will take you away, take you far away, and take you to a place, believe me, you do not want to go, where your worst nightmare will only just have begun. The damnation of hell. Oh, there's something to be saved from. Your sin and its consequences now, but your sin and its consequences then, when God judges the world in righteousness by His Son Jesus Christ. Get right with God. Get right with Him today. Get repenting. Get believing. There's no other way back to God from the dark path of sin. Repent ye and believe the gospel, says Jesus. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Repent ye and believe the gospel, Dumfries. Repent ye and believe the gospel. You'd like to have a copy of God's Word. Study, read, meditate upon these things. See that these things are so according to God's righteous and holy Word. You'd like a copy of God's Word, it's offered to you freely. No cost, no obligation to you. You'd like one. You come and ask for one. May God bless you. And have mercy, mercy, Dumfries, upon your precious, never-dying souls.